Let's turn to the gospel reading for today, Luke chapter 13. We will read together the verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 13, the verses 10 through 17. The story we're going to read today is about a woman who's hunched over with a disease, and Luke reports that she carries this for 18 years. It caused her to be hunched over and burdened, and Luke is the only one of the gospel writers who tells this particular story. And something worth noting is that when Jesus heals her, he does it on the Sabbath. And in Luke's gospel, this is the second of three times in which Jesus does something on the Sabbath that causes people to be agitated and amazed. The first one is in chapter 6. There's this one, and then there's another one in chapter 14. And because this story is unique to Luke, and as I was thinking about this woman's condition, if I could retitle this sermon, I would call it Backstory. I find myself wondering what led up to this woman's 18 years of experience and this moment with Jesus. And all of us have a backstory, something that is in our past or has brought us up to this point in our life. And she's been crippled. She's bent over. She has back issues. So as we get ready to pray this, or as we get ready to read this morning, let's pray. But let's ask in a particular way for the Spirit to connect this with our own life and our own story. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are grateful for the ways in which you move in our lives and in our stories. Today, as we open up this story, as we open up this text, we pray that you will give us new appreciation and new dimension to the story of our own lives. So guide us, we pray, as we listen, as we speak, as we live. Help us to see and experience your presence. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Beginning at verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then would not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Along with our beloved friend Gene Brower, I am a voracious reader. In fact, I was going to start the sermon this week with telling you about a new book that I picked up that's about this thick. Written by Christopher Booker, what a great name for somebody who writes books, Christopher Booker, who talks about the seven basic plot lines of every story. And as I started reading this week, I began being reminded that all of us come from a story, all of us have a backstory, all of us are constructing a story about our lives, and the stories that we tell tend to reveal our values or the things that we care about. And I think when we think about these things, as we think about our lives as a story and constructing our lives that way, it reminds me that perhaps this is some of the popularity of Ancestry.com or 23andMe. We are trying to find our roots, trying to find our connections, trying to see what larger narrative that we are a part of. Well, that was what I was going to do until this week, and I met Mary. That's not a real name. And suddenly I didn't care so much about a book. I was in Grand Rapids at a care facility, and I was wearing my clergy badge, and I walked into the wrong room, and I immediately knew that I was in the wrong room. And before I could turn around or before I could get out of there, this woman, Mary, said to me, "Are you a pastor?" I wanted to take the badge and put it behind me. I thought, oh, I'm already running late. And instead I said, "I am." And she said, "I have to tell you something." And she went on to tell me about her condition, all the treatments that she had gone through. She didn't tell me her name. She told me about all the children that she had had. She told me that after 52 years of marriage and getting roughed up by her husband, she said, "Enough was enough. And now I can't wait to get into this independent facility where I can live all by myself because I can be free and independent." And I thought, wow. In 2 minutes' time, she told me, in a sense, her life story, but she was framing it in this moment of freedom that she was experiencing right then, right now, in a hospital bed that had clearly been her home for some time. And I began thinking, I was not visiting you, you were visiting me. I want you to think about this morning. Think about this text and think about your life. Think about what you heard from Seth and Kate this morning and ask yourself, what's my story? What is the story that I'm telling and that I'm living? What is the thing that has hunched me over, this burden that I have carried, that Jesus has freed me from? Maybe it's from sin, maybe it's from doubt, maybe it's from shame, maybe it's from depression. Maybe you are like that woman prior to us knowing her, in that period of asking for release and freedom from something, and you're waiting for to be totally set free. But maybe you're in that very moment of having been set free and wanting to live that out in the freedom and joy that comes with it. Maybe you've never thought of your life that way as part of a larger story where God's doing something new or something different, but all of us construct our lives, whether we think of it as photo album pictures or moments in our life, where we string these together, and this is how we understand where we are right now. What's your story? Where do you come from? Where do you find yourself? Where do you yearn to be? On that moment this week in a care facility, I thought it was all about this. And I was reminded again that sometimes I have to zoom out and see that there's something much larger going on that I did not see. So in the text, this woman was going to the synagogue. We don't know if she went every Saturday. We don't know what it was like for her to live in this state for 18 years. We don't know what those 18 years were like, whether they went excruciatingly slow, or like parents, say, I don't know where the time has gone, 18 years or 16 years. We don't know what that was like for her, but we can only imagine what it was like for her to experience the Savior in that day, in that moment. And her story is now a culmination of the Christian faith, which is she didn't ask for this condition and she didn't ask for healing that day, but what she got was a Savior who came to her, met her where she was, delivered her, put his hands on her, and her response was gratitude, praise, and joy. This is the essence of our faith. And Luke writes these words 50, 60, 70 years after they happen, so that they would be formative for us who daily, who weekly are living out our profession, thinking we are writing our story, but being caught up in something much larger. Now, this morning in the text, I zoomed in on this woman and her condition. But if you look at the entire story, you will see that Luke has something much bigger going on. This is yet another story that Luke is telling about the resistance that Jesus is experiencing in the face of his proclaiming God's kingdom, proclaiming that this is the time and this is the era of freedom. He is doing what his mother sang about in chapter 1 about lifting the lowly and bringing down the mighty. It's about what Jesus did in his first sermon about proclaiming freedom and release to the prisoners and captives like us, so that we would ground our life and our story in God's promises and in God's deliverance. So this morning, what's your story? If you had to sit down like Seth and Kate, take a moment, take a breath to reflect, where have I been? Where do I see myself now? Where would I like to go? I think Seth said it so beautifully. So many of us are waiting for that moment when we think we are good enough or perfect enough, and then it begins. And it is a moment of profound maturity that usually takes other people in our life speaking into our life to say, you know what? No matter what age, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, we are still learning. We are still on the way. We are still trying to live in that grace. We are still needing reminders of who God has said that we are, because it's easy to grow forgetful. We need each other's stories as we are writing our own. And we need to be reminded that there's something bigger going on. There's a larger story that's being told, that's being written. From what have you been set free? From what are you yearning to be set free if you're in that woman's 18 years of waiting? When Jesus speaks about the freedom and the newness that comes, there are people who respond with, what's he talking about? What is he doing? And there are others who say, yes, yes, this, he is the one. And I think it often depends on whether we are zooming in or whether we are zooming out. And this morning, the promise of the gospel is that the part of our story that we need to hold on deeply to is that Jesus sets people free. Jesus unloads the burden. I had thought about this week of coming to church wearing a heavy back-to-school backpack stuffed with books, and being hunched over all morning, but I didn't think I'd have the stamina to do it. Read the text, and when this woman was freed, drop that heavy burden. What's in your backpack? What are the chapters? What are the books? What are the anvils that are loading you down that this morning Jesus sets you free from and says, that's in your rearview mirror because I've taken care of it. I have set you free. And this woman responds with gratitude, joy, and the crowds respond with amazement. And the Pharisee responds, the synagogue leader responds like this, but he's marginalized. Where do you find yourself this morning? If you've forgotten what God has said right here, remember that Jesus comes to free prisoners, even and especially you and me. And this woman's response and the response of our teens this morning is right there. One of availability, one of teachability, one of ongoing learning, but I know for certain because I've seen it in others that I look up to and I've heard it. I belong. I belong and I've been set free. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news for us this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Free us, O God, from painful memories. Free us, O God, from the burdens that we carry. Free us, O God, from the things that we have put there or someone else has put there against our will. Set us free that we might be joyfully and gladly your people. Some of us look back with wonder and awe and gratitude because we know what you have set us free from. Some of us today are feeling new freedom because we can taste it, we can see it, we can hear it, we can feel it. Some of us, O God, may be in the part of the story of this woman's 18 years, waiting for release, hoping for it, yearning for it. Give patience, we pray, and stamina. Give us an ability to zoom out as much as we have zoomed in. And we pray that you would live at the center of our story. We love you, we trust you, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.